like the church throughout the ages, whenever a issue arises in the culture and the context of the ministry of the church and a particular local church, the issue must be addressed from a biblical perspective, from a biblical standpoint. And this pandemic that we find ourselves in, and not only that, but our potential move to a new building, Lord willing, has caused us to consider at least two issues as a church body, as we are going through both of these, the pandemic and our potential move to the building. The first issue that it has caused us to consider is, what is the nature of the church? What is the church? There are so many questions right now being asked about the church, explicitly or implicitly. And then secondly, what is the church's relationship? What is your relationship as a believer to the civil government? What is your relationship? How should you relate to the government? Two big issues that we've been faced with here in the last several months. And last week, we began to address this first question, this first issue of what is the nature of the church? What is the church? Now, I want to say that before I begin here, just to set the stage, there is so much confusion about what the church is today. So much confusion. Lord, help us. Is the church the company of saints throughout time? Is the church a denomination? Is the church a worship service? Is the church essential? What is the church? How are we to think about it? And how are we to live in light of it? Well, last week we said that the church, very simply, is a people gathered in a place. The church is a people gathered in a place. But I ended the message last week with a cliffhanger, a to be continued. The to be continued is something that is more fundamental than a church being a people gathering in a place. There's something more fundamental to the church than that. So that's what I want to unpack today. And here it is. I want to give it to you, and then we'll unpack it. The church is universal with necessary local gatherings. The church is universal with necessary local gatherings. So I just want to focus, I want to unpack this statement, and then I want to show you how this is relevant for you. How this is relevant for us right now in the context in which we find ourselves in. So last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 18. And this week, I want us to look at another passage where Jesus speaks of the church, Matthew 16. So please open there with me, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And as you're turning there, I want to remind you that there are only two times in Matthew, only two times, where Jesus uses the word church. One is Matthew 18 from last week, and the other is Matthew 16 this week. As I was thinking about this, I should have called this series, "What is the Church According to Jesus?" Because that's what we're looking at, about what he has said about his church. So I want to read this passage, Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said to him, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. Obviously, if you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, which you are, you know that there has been much, much said about this text throughout the history of the church. We could spend a whole year unpacking this passage, way more time than we have just for today. What I want to do today is I want to draw your attention again to the key verse here, and it's verse 18. Look at it again. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Now, regardless of how you interpret the rock, Jesus says he's going to build his church on the rock. If you interpret it as Peter, as his confession, as the church, as the apostles, however you interpret this, I'm not going to answer that for you today. But however you interpret the rock which the church will be built upon, what I want to say, what I want to point out is Jesus is clear that he will build his church. He does not say that he will build his building, right? This is clearly referring to a global people, a church of the redeemed of all times and places, not one particular local assembly. Jesus is not saying that he will build one local church. This is universal language. What is Jesus talking about here? What we could call this is what has been historically called the universal church. It's what Jesus is speaking about here. And the universal church, just to give a definition so we're all on the same page, the universal church is the church of all true believers, of all geographical places, and all chronological times. That's the universal church. It's the church of all true believers, of all geographical places, and all chronological times. Now, to help build the universal church, Jesus has given something this passage teaches us. What does it say that he has given to the church? Look at verse 19. He's given something. He's given keys. Keys are a symbol of authority. Look what he says, verse 19. "I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And here is how this is authoritative. "And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Now, the interpretation of this verse 19 hinges in large measure on the interpretation of the rock in verse 18. Who has the keys? Well, I'll let you figure that one out. Thankfully, Jesus, his statement here in verse 19 should remind you about another statement that he makes. Do you remember it from last week, just two chapters later in Matthew 18? Flip over a page or to the next sheet in your Bible to Matthew 18. Look at Matthew 18, verse 18. Here's what Jesus says. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, Jesus does not explicitly mention keys here in this verse, in verse 18 of Matthew 18. But it is a parallel passage. It's virtually similar. Jesus is speaking about the authority of the church. And here is the point I want to make about what Jesus is saying. Where does the binding and the loosening happen? Where does it happen? Well, here in verse 18 of Matthew 18, it's clear. If you read the context, this binding and loosening happens within the context of the gathered assembly, within the context of what we would call the local church. So Jesus is speaking here in Matthew 18 about the local church, not the universal church, but the gathered church in a particular time and place. The local church, to give a definition of that, is the church of professing believers in one geography and one time, or of one geography and of one time. It's the church of professing believers of one geography and one time. That's the local church. So I want to summarize what I've said here so far. The church is universal with necessary local gatherings. So I'm going to unpack this necessary part here in a minute, but it's universal with necessary local gatherings. Two places in Matthew, Jesus speaks explicitly in reference to the church. Jesus speaks of the universal church in Matthew 16 and of the local church that is being built by him through the universal church in Matthew 18. Now, I want to make something clear here. The church is universal and the church is local, but these are not two churches. These are not two separate, mutually exclusive concepts. They are really two aspects of the one church. Of the one church that can be distinguished but can never be separated. This is why I say that the church is universal with necessary local gatherings. The universal church must gather in local times and geographies, what we call the local church. Now, that's a lot of theology, that's a lot of concepts to get your brain around, but for those of you who are more visual in your thinking, let me give you an illustration that might help you with this, that I'm bumming from the great Spurgeon. Spurgeon pictures the universal and local church in this way. He says the universal church is like a field that a farmer owns, that a farmer has. The universal church is a field let's say a 1 acre field that a farmer has. And within that field, there are different divisions and rows. There may be different crops, or if they're all the same crop, at least you have different rows of crops. And those rows, those divisions, are the local church or churches. You think of one seed, if you will, of corn as one local church. Okay? So they're not two fields. It's one field. But that one field necessarily entails a crop that is divided into different divisions or rows or however it is divided. Now you might be asking the question this morning, Pastor Dan, this is maybe Ecclesiology 101. I get this. Why does this matter? Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going to tell you why this matters. It matters. I want to begin unpacking why it matters. And it matters a great deal because the now late J.I. Packer, if you heard, passed away on Friday. But J.I. Packer once said, bad theology hurts people. And so here's what happens if you don't maintain this statement that the church is universal with local gatherings. Here's what happens. Now, before I tell you what happens, I want to make crystal clear that my intention is not to pick on these people at all. I am simply pointing out that theology matters and has consequences. It really does. So first is what I would call the error of Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholic theology believes in a universal church, but not a local church. So, in other words, what they end up doing is they make no distinction between a universal church and a local church. Therefore, they cannot say that the church is universal with necessary local gatherings. And so the upshot of this is that unless you are connected to the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope, then you are not a true church. So think about this. Think about what this means for you and me. Think about this, brothers and sisters. If they are correct, if there is only a universal church, if that is true, you and I should want to join in part into the Roman Catholic Church. That should be what we want to do, if they are correct. But based on what I've said, from what Jesus teaches, we believe that they are not correct based on this biblical evidence. And so, do not be a part of a Roman Catholic Church. We are not part of the Roman Catholic Church. That's the error of Roman Catholicism. This is all why this matters. A second error is the error of, here's the term I'm going to use. Maybe it's a new term for some of you, but it's called landmarkism. Landmarkism. So you might think this is only an issue with the Roman Catholic Church. Well, it's not. There are even some Protestant churches, if you want to call them Protestant churches, that have errors in this understanding and what we've said that Jesus teaches about the church. Landmarkism originated in the 19th century. Now, obviously, we can't say all that there is to say about it. It would take up a whole CE hour. But if Roman Catholicism, if their error is belief only in a universal church, the error of landmarkism is belief only in a local church. And now think about this. The upshot of this is super interesting, and it's dangerous. For example, if you go to a landmark church from another church, what they will want you to do is they will want you to be rebaptized. no matter when you were baptized, even if you're baptized after becoming a believer. They will want you to be rebaptized. You see, unless you are baptized in a landmark church, you are not truly baptized. Why? Because the landmark church, according to them, goes all the way back, they trace it all the way back to John the Baptist, and there is no universal church. It doesn't matter that you were baptized by another church across town, that doesn't count. The only true church is the local landmark church, which is local and visible. Now, we do have, in the Twin Cities, at least one landmark church that I know of. So this is not something that's sort of out there as a concept, as a theory. This exists today. Now, please don't be going and searching for this. That's not the point, right? It's not the point to hunt down this landmark church. It's not the point at all. My point is to simply show you in just these two examples that what we've said today matters. It really matters. And now let me bring this a little more, make this a little more personal for us today, rather than just talking about theology and how it kind of works out in those realms. If what I have said today is that the church is universal with necessary local gatherings, then I think this implies at least two things that we need to think about very seriously as a church and as individuals. Number one, here's what I want us to consider. Number one, I want you and me to become universal church-minded. I want us to become universal church-minded. What I mean by this is that I want us to recognize that we are not the only church in town, nor are we the only church in the Twin Cities, and on and on and on and on. Now, I think most of you would say that you are universal church-minded, but I want to give you some thoughts that would hopefully challenge you in this. Okay? Just give you some thoughts here. Okay? Here are some thoughts about becoming universal church-minded. What about us listing on our website or in our bulletin other sister churches in the area? What about doing that? So how this might work practically is someone comes to our church who lives on the other side of town. Now, certainly you welcome them to Grace Community Bible Church. You thank them for coming, and in your conversation, you learn that they are coming from Maplewood. Now, this is an easy example, but why not say to them, I see you're coming from Maplewood. While we would love to have you at GCBC, there is an excellent church that we know of in Maplewood. It's called Twin Cities Bible Church. Have you ever visited there? Do you know about that church? Does that ever cross your mind? You got to think about that. What about regularly praying for other churches in Lakeville and the Twin Cities? What about having it on your personal prayer list? Praying for other churches, not just Grace Community Bible Church. Now, we do pray for church plants, we pray for our missionaries, but what about churches closer to home? Do you pray for other gospel churches in your area on a regular basis? It's a way you can become universal church-minded. What about, and here's a harder one, what about financially supporting another church, even in Lakeville or the Twin Cities, with the resources God has blessed us with? If we have extra resources above and beyond what we need, what about blessing another church with those resources? That's a harder one. What about this? What about joining a denomination? What about Grace Community Bible Church joining a denomination? Or if you don't like that term, what about an association or a fellowship of other like-minded churches? What about teaming up with another church in Lakeville or the greater metro for an outreach event? What about increasing our prayer and support for our missionaries? We support missionaries in Austria and Tanzania. And we support the raising up of pastors in Sierra Leone to plant their own churches. Or what about leaving GCBC to be a part of another local church plant, whether initiated and sent out by GCBC or another church? So this is examples of ways that I think we can become more universal church-minded. From a negative standpoint, to become more universal church-minded means, you know what I think it means on the ground level for us? I think it means that we're not so concerned about GCBC and our brand. Now, I don't think that this is a problem for our church. I don't think we necessarily struggle with this. But it could become a problem if we move into our own building. I don't know. It may. But some churches, it just seems like they're so concerned about their reputation, their brand, their name. And so you know what happens? They constantly talk about mission statements and vision statements. Or they refer to one another as, in our context, GCBCites or GCBCers. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with building up a local church and building a brand. There's nothing wrong with mission statements and vision statements to keep us on track, to remind us of what we are all about. These things are all in good. I'm just saying they need to be in balance. They need to be in balance. Now, these are only just a few ideas for how we can become more universal church-minded. Now, I want to say that I'm not talking about ecumenism, where we cooperate and we join together with other churches that deny the gospel. That's not what I'm talking about, and I hope you get that and believe that. We're talking about partnering and supporting and teaming up with other like-minded churches and praying for them, and praying for their success, praying for the gospel to go forward in their churches. So become universal church-minded. Secondly, if what I said is true, that the church is universal with necessary local gatherings, I think it also means, number two, becoming local church members. Become universal church-minded and become local church members. What do I mean by this? I mean that since it's true that a church is universal with local necessary gatherings, if you are a professing Christian, you must identify with some local church. Here at Grace Community Bible Church, we call it membership, and we have a process for it. Other churches may not call it membership. It may be a different name, and they may have a different process. That's not the point. The point is identifying, becoming a part of a local church. Negatively, this means that there is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. There isn't. It means that ultimately you cannot be a Christian without being a member and going to church. It simply is impossible. You cannot be a Christian without being a member and going to church. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there are seasons of transition in your life where you have a job change, or where you're moving to another church because the church you're in has denied the gospel. Yeah, we recognize there are seasons of change. I'm talking about having an attitude of having an arm's length attitude with the local church. Or having the attitude of, I just haven't found a church yet that works for me. I think we have to be careful of that attitude. And I want to say, if you live in the South Metro, if you live south of the river, there are many good gospel preaching local churches. Thank God for them. We praise God for them. And as such, we endeavor to be by God's grace as well. But I don't want to simply be negative. Think about the importance of the local church in your life. Let's think about it for a minute. Think about all of the things that are yours for being part of a local church. Here's a list of 14 things that I want to mention. 14 things that are yours because of you being part of this local assembly. The local church provides at least weekly, in our case, twice a week. It provides Christian relationships and fellowship. The local church helps hold you accountable. The local church comforts you when you're grieving and distressed, and the local church confronts you when you need to be confronted. The local church gives you the opportunity to use your spiritual gifts. The local church protects you from heresy. The local church guides you in your Christian walk. The local church ministers to you and your family. The local church advances the gospel locally and around the globe. The local church is an instrument for the salvation of souls. The local church helps you with physical and spiritual needs. The local church brings unity with diversity, different ages, classes, ethnicities. The local church disciplines unrepentant members. The local church celebrates baptism and communion together. The local church is a lighthouse of hope in the community. All these benefits, and many more that we could list here, are met by the local church. And not just the local church, but by this local church. By Grace Community Bible Church. But all of these benefits, perhaps the most important is the local church helps you to stay connected to Jesus. It helps you stay connected to our Savior. And let me illustrate it for you this way. Some of you know, little science lesson here, that there are two kinds of magnets. There are hard magnets and there are soft magnets. Hard magnets have their own magnetic field, whereas soft magnets rely on the magnetic field of a hard magnet or another magnet in their vicinity. For example, let me give you an example. A paperclip is a soft magnet. A paperclip relies on the magnetic field of a hard magnet. Now, perhaps you have done the experiment where you take a hard magnet and then you dangle from the hard magnet paper clips to the hard magnet, and you see how many paper clips you can string from that hard magnet. Now, what happens when that paper clip is severed from the hard magnet? All of the magnets fall apart. They all come unmagnetized, if you will. It's a domino effect. Now, when it comes to the church, Jesus is like a hard magnet. And we are like paper clips. His magnetic field runs through us and holds us together. That's what happens. But in order to grow in our connection to Jesus, we have to stay connected to each other in the local church. When we stop staying connected to the local church, what happens is we become less and less connected to Jesus and our brothers and sisters. And what happens is this has a profound effect on your and my spiritual life. So I want you this afternoon to think about your attendance, your participation. I want you to think about gathering a Grace Community Bible Church like a magnet. Or better, a more biblical concept, not like a magnet, but like a ministry. Like a ministry. Attending church is ministry because most of the one another's, a lot of them, we do here occur in the context of showing up. Every one of you, if you are a Christian and you're a member of Grace Community Bible Church, you have a ministry. You have the ministry of attendance. How can we be known by others and know others when we don't come and gather together on a regular basis? I mean, I think we experienced a little bit of that in March, April, and May, didn't we? How can we serve and love one another when we don't show up on a regular basis? I want to encourage all of you to consider your ministry of attendance. Now, please understand me. I get that the pandemic has massively upset this. And I get that there are many of you, in fact, some of you that aren't here today, that are live streaming today, cannot come because you have serious health risks. And we understand that. And we want you to be safe, and we want you to stay healthy. What I am saying is I want you, this today, is to prayerfully consider before the Lord your ministry of attendance. Consider that before the Lord. Now, obviously, we could say so much more than what I have said in these few brief moments this afternoon. We could add to this. We could add implications to this main idea that we see that Jesus teaches, and not just Jesus, the Bible teaches that the church is universal with necessary local gatherings. There's so much more we could say, but we just don't have time this morning. I wanted to give you, in these two messages, I wanted to give you what I believe, in my understanding of the Scriptures, are the basics, if you will, the essential nature of the church, and then a little bit of how, of what that means for you, of how that impacts your life. And brothers and sisters, there is, like, as I begin this morning, there is a lot of confusion about the church. And we need to go back to the Bible. We need to go back to the church being universal with local, necessary local gatherings, and the church being a people who gather in a place. We got to go back to these truths during this time. So my prayer has been that this would be helpful for you. My prayer has been that this would challenge some of you in your thinking. My prayer has been that it would not only challenge some of you in your thinking, but most of all, my prayer is that through this brief two-message series, that it has increased your love. your delight in the local church, in the universal church, in the church that Jesus promised to build. And he said, no gates of Hades would overthrow it. Amen?